Welcome into the Three Wise Men, everybody. I'm Danny Holbrook, alongside Miles Holiday, Mark Shine, in for Nate Garlock. Mark, thanks for coming on and substituting this week for us.
I enjoy coming out here and talking to you guys, and so we'll see what we can do this evening to entertain folks.
Miles, the tournament for the girls is done. We crowned a champion this weekend.
Man.
It was awesome.
Pretty cool stuff, yeah. Right? Congratulations, Columbus Grove. And I'm glad to be back after missing last week. Thanks to Randy Roberts for filling in for me.
Oh, yeah, sure. You were gone last week.
I was. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for missing me, Danny. I missed you too, buddy.
It's the Diamond Dave Bowen. Best thing we saw all week. We'll start with you, Miles.
I have about four. Is that okay?
Well, you always do.
I'm a joyful guy, right?
No, you just talk a lot.
Number one, we have the field set for the Slow-Footed 40. That's going to take place on April 12th. Mark, I don't know if you know about this, but Michael Garlock, the great receiver from Shawnee, son of Nate, he challenged me. He attacked my manhood, said he thinks he could run faster in a 40-yard. That's exactly how it went on.
Okay.
So a lot of guys came to my defense. Danny's going to run. I'm going to run. Tyler El Guapo Elvila is going to run. Even Nate Garlock's going to run. Chris Howell from the Lima News is going to run. Young
Mark
Gravy.
Mark Allstatter's thinking about running. We'll talk to Mark.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Great. And Young Gravy is going to run. But then we had Benedict Arnold Beimer. She turned on us. She said she's going to run. And she's not only just going to run, Mark. She's going to destroy Danny in the 40-yard dash as well.
You know, fellas, I have an AED at home.
Yes.
Can you bring that and ice? Yeah.
That's a
smart move. So April 12th, outside the Wolf Boom Studio, we're going to run a 40-yard dash. We have a championship belt already made for it. It's going to be an amazing event, or it's going to be a bunch of fat guys really getting sick.
I'm going number two.
But I do have to say congratulations to Kelsey Beimer last week. She did her first play-by-play stint, got to college some college softball. So I was excited about that. That was one of the best things. And our own JKB, Jennifer Keepbeck, got to do the state championships for the girls and called one of those games in color. So that was fantastic. And it's just been a great time watching basketball, and it's a fun time, but at the same time, it's a sad time because it's ending, right? And we all love it so much.
Yeah. Mark, best thing you saw all week?
Well, I got to do one personal, Danny. Last week, I took my father to yet another high school basketball game. We got to go to Bowling Green on Friday night. We got to watch two games. It is such a blessing if you still have your father. The guy who took you to ball games when you were this big and this big and this big and continues, and we were able to go and enjoy high school basketball games together.
That's awesome.
And it really was a special thing for me. The second thing is the crowds that we have seen at the high school tournament games that we have been to lately have been outstanding.
Right.
And the way that the schools have jumped on board and supported their athletes throughout this tournament, I thought the regular season crowds, they were okay, and every once in a while you get that big one. But the tournament, they have really turned out and done an exceptional job. The third thing is, does anybody run better tournaments at high school level than Elida?
No.
Those guys,
we'll talk about
the Dave venues. May puts together his staff. When you go to Elida, you know the thing's going to be run correctly, and congratulations to those guys.
Yeah. Real quick, how old's your dad?
He'll be 93 this summer.
Man, that's awesome.
He'll be 94 this summer.
Did he ever come on the show, Mark?
Oh, would he come on the show?
Yeah. I've heard some of his witty banter.
Yeah, he probably, I don't know, that's a good question. I'd have to ask him.
We could just have great stories. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah, he might.
Guys, for me, and Miles was with me when this happened, but we finished broadcasting our game Friday night, and it was a great game, and Marion Local defeated Colonel Crawford. And the Marion Local folks that were coming up to Miles and I, and Dave Bowen was standing there, and you were getting ready for your game.
Right.
The compliments they were giving WOSN was amazing.
Yeah.
I was gushing, beaming. We were just laughing because we had a guy come up and he goes, "Oh my gosh, I watched the Three Wise Men. You guys are awesome. I watch your broadcast. I watch all you guys at WOSN." And Miles had a good point. It's usually the winning team that's happy to talk to us. And I said to this guy, I was talking to him, I said, "Sir," I said, "can I ask you what it's like being from a community like Marion Local where you never lose?" And he goes, "Oh, no. We lost a game 6 years ago." And he laughed about it. He wasn't being arrogant.
Right.
But they were so kind to us and so complimentary about the work that we do at this station. And I just wanted to pass that on to everybody because we have a huge team here. And It's a family. It's the best people I've ever been around in my life, and I truly mean that. The next thing I want to talk about was, you ever notice when you watch a player play and you start identifying him with a certain school? Like, I love Findlay Oiler basketball, Findlay College. You know, I think they do a tremendous job. They're a D2 power. They got a national title.
Jagger Landers.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I saw Payne DeGray from Colonel Crawford the other night. He's a junior. He's got a college-ready body. The kid is huge. I love his game. I love he can play with his back to the basket. I love he can square up. He was so impressive in that game. Now, he wasn't the leading scorer, but I just watched and watched and watched this kid. He's got a bright future ahead of him. He's going to be one of the top players in the state of Ohio next year. He's outstanding.
Yeah, I loved his post-game, right?
Yes.
He's got as many post moves as Kevin McHale.
Yeah, when I'm watching him, I'm like, Charlie Ernst, you got to get all over this kid because he's Findlay ready. So, he may be more than that. We'll see how he goes as the season progresses next year. It's interview time, and we got a couple great guys with us today. Coach Chris Souter and assistant coach Darren Gilbert from the Ada Bulldogs varsity basketball team. Guys, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Coach, let's get right to it, and let's talk about this season. Correct me if I'm wrong, 14-9, correct, overall?
Correct.
6-3 in the BVC. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about the season and the highs and the lows.
Well, it was a good first year. I mean, I thought we had a pretty good summer. Had 5 wins last year, so to get to 14. And then finishing the upper half of the BVC was definitely something for the kids to be proud of. It's just going to take time. We got a lot of young kids. We played 2 sophomores, 4 juniors a lot during the year, so it's nice to have those guys back. But there's a lot to be said for the 3 seniors we had and the leadership that they brought. When we met with them after the year, the 2 football guys were like, we won in football, we won in basketball. There's a good chance we can win this spring. He goes, that hasn't happened around here in a long time that you can say that you had a winning record in 3 seasons. So the kids are excited. We've already got summer stuff planned, and it's nice having – you got to have a good staff. I mean – Gil and Josh and James and my junior high coaches do a ton of work, which makes my life a whole lot easier. I can focus on coaching, which is, that's what I want to do. And when I got out of it a couple of years ago, it was the other things were becoming too much, and the coaching seemed to be taking a backseat from time to time, and just needed to kind of step away. And I thought I was done. But it didn't take long to figure out that I wasn't done. It was about November, and I'm saying all the right things. Yeah, I love this free time. And you know what? The great part was we went to Florida over Christmas break, which we'd never been able to do that, my wife and I. So when I was sitting on a pontoon in the Gulf of Mexico, I'm like, yeah, I could do this. This coaching thing, I don't need that. But, I mean, that was a great 5 days. But the rest of the time, it's like I wish I was – and my wife kept dragging me to all the games, because that's all we've known, or that's all she's known for, our entire marriage is me coaching. So, and that's all our kids knew. And it's like, okay, what are we doing on Friday and Saturday? Yeah. Well, we're going to go watch this game. We're
going to
go watch that
game. Games
anyhow. We were still going and watching all the girls' games because my daughter, my youngest, she was good friends with Achmuti. So we kept going and watching her. And, you know, I love Brian. I think he's a great dude, does a great job. And, so we were still going to games anyway. I'm like, if I'm going to spend this much time in a gym, I might as well get paid a little bit for it. So I talked to Gil, actually, at a Grove game.
In December, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like December. And I said, I think I'm getting back into it. If I do, you coming along for the ride? And we had talked a little bit. And then I talked to a couple of Ada people down at state tournament last year. And it sounded like that was going to be open. I said, if it is, let me know. And they did, and we met and talked. And it's weird when you get into it, it's like you'd do it for free. And I'd still do it for free. But you get to that point in your career where you've got 28 years of teaching, and you have to start thinking about, I'm going to retire.
Yeah, right.
I can't take you can't really take a hit pay-wise because that really affects your retirement. So, you know, we ironed out a few details and got everything squared away. And when I left, I was teaching 5th grade math and coaching varsity basketball. Now I'm back coaching varsity basketball and teaching 5th grade math. So it's like I never left.
So, Ketch, it's your second stint at Ada. Mm-hmm. I got to know you through your first stint when you beat our brains out every game we ever played. You had some really good teams at Ada. You took them to the state Final Four. You go to Columbus Grove. You take them to a state championship game. You're back at Ada. What's different about this stint at Ada this time? Or is it different? Or does it feel like it's home again?
I think for me, it's just different because it's just me. I don't have, my kids are all grown. They're out of school. I have family that's at Grove, that's playing sports. Now it's just, it's me. I can just focus on it. There's no strings attached. There's no ties to anything. And I love the group of kids we currently have. And
good group. Really good group.
Yeah. Some of the nicest kids you ever, like I said, at turn in, you know, it was basically first come, first serve. You know, and you got freshmen there, and we got seniors there, and the seniors got there after the freshmen, so they waited their turn.
Wow.
I'm like, that doesn't happen, man. It's right. Like, you know, it's my turn. You can wait. Okay. They're just super nice kids. And so I don't know. It's just, it's great to be back. I think people are very appreciative of, you know, of us coming back and the success we had this year. And I'm just really, like I said, I got burned out the first time around, and I'm trying not to let that happen again. So I'm really trying to just enjoy all of it.
Well, you guys have both had tremendous careers in coaching, right? What is it you still love about it? What keeps bringing you back to the floor?
The kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I just spending time with the kids, and it doesn't even have to be basketball related. Just hanging out and talking with them. And I think that was the part. And it was hard being at Grove. You know, I was still, you know, teaching there. I still had high school lunch duty, so I'm still seeing all the kids. And you try to keep a relationship with them, but it's just not the same. I said, the next time I'm done coaching, I'm done teaching. I won't be able to function at the school if I'm not doing both. So that's been my favorite part about it. I love basketball and I love all that, but I just love being around the kids.
Coach, I'll go family a minute on you because you've had some successful athletes grow up in your house. Yeah. But years and years ago, you lost a tough game on a Friday night. And Saturday, I'm at the YMCA, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and you're coaching a little girls' basketball team. Coaches are family people.
Mm-hmm.
It is a difficult thing to do is to balance your primary job, your coaching job, and your family.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I remember when Trey was a sixth grader, you know, you really rely on parents to help out when you're, you know, in that elementary level. And there was just nobody that was willing the ones that were willing just weren't able to because of work and other things. So I was leaving varsity practice and then going and coaching sixth grade for an hour and a half a couple times a week. And, you know, we might lose, like you said, we lose a game on Saturday and there I am at the BFR at, you know, or at noon coaching a sixth grade basketball game. But for me, it was always about spending time with my kids, you know, wanting to be there with them and, you know, kind of seeing what they're doing. And with the older two, you know, with Braden, super involved in everything he did. Taya was big in the softball, so that was like I still have a permanent ring on my butt from sitting on a bucket all those years. But you know, and with Trey and Jalen, I still was involved, but I kind of took a little more of a back seat and tried to let other people do things with them. And Jalen had, you know, she had great people working with them, but I always tried to be involved as much as I could. Because like you said, there's a lot of time spent away from your family. Mm-hmm. And then you do things like take your wife to Florida to thank her for allowing you to. Because that was, you know, when I went back into it, it was, yeah, I want to do this, but I have to have your blessing. Because if you don't want me to do it, I'm not doing it. You know, because you put up with it for all those years. Right. Is this something you want to get back into? And God love her. She was all into it. And here we are sitting here talking to you.
Coach, what's this guy mean to you? I know you guys have been through a lot together. And look, I get it because I do a lot of games with Gil. So I hear about your practices and your rants and your raves. And so I'm his sounding board. I got so much respect for you now, Coach.
Let's just say this. He's the reason why I
came
back.
You've told me that.
And plus the Ada kids and the Ada community. They were very, very good to me the first time around. And when Chris made the decision to go back home, you know, I wanted to step away. I stepped away for a little while. And then when it, you know, I was just there watching an AAU kid play at Columbus Grove at Christmas time. And here he comes. He comes bebopping down and sits beside me and says, hey, you know, I've got an itch to get back into this. Would you help me? And, you know, he's the reason why. He is so good with the kids. He's good in the classroom with the kids. He's very well respected. His record speaks for itself. coaches in Northwest Ohio. The man's been to two state Final Fours. He had a team that went undefeated that lost in the – or didn't lose. They couldn't play it. Lost because of COVID. And, you know, we are very good friends. We're very competitive in practice. But that's why, you know, we get along so well. He listens to me. I listen to him. And – It's just a great working relationship.
He doesn't always listen to me. I've been trying to get him to sit down and be quiet for 20-some games, and it's not happening.
Last two it did.
You were sick and not there.
The last one. That's right. That's true.
Well, I remember I had you guys at this year at the Temple game, and you guys got beat on a buzzer beater. A kid made an unbelievable shot, and as soon as the game was over, Gilly texted me and apologized for his coaching ability. I'm like, you don't have to do that, Gil. But it shows me that he takes this. You know, he's really into this, and he does nothing but praise you and the program you guys run over.
And the amount of work he does behind the scenes with the stats and the scouting and the, you know, the scouting reports. And I mean, we have an entire Google Classroom page set up for the kids. And, you know, we know when they're going to be around this summer. We know when they're on vacation. We know, I mean, it's just all these little things that he does, again, that makes my life a whole lot easier. So I can just, you know, focus on basketball and, you know, with being actually, cause I was teaching computer lab at Grove. So I kind of had a little more flexibility to watch some film and do some things there. Now you're back in the regular classroom teaching math again. That you don't have nearly as much free time throughout the course of a day to do some things. So he makes my life a whole lot easier. So I can just, you know, kind of focus on what do we need to do to get better and, you know, building that relationship with the kids.
You mentioned burnout as a thing, and all coaches go through that, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to win more than the coach, right?
Right.
Nobody's harder on themselves than the coach. What are some things that you've done to adjust and deal with burnout from the first time that you felt it?
Hired him. I mean, really, I mean, just having him on staff and him doing a lot of those. I still do a lot of stuff. Like, he puts the scouting report together, then I kind of go through it and do it kind of for the kids. And then I still do all the Google Calendar stuff for all the kids and, you know, all the practices and the games and everything are on there. But between him and, at the end of the game, my JV coach, Josh, the game's already been sent to huddle to be statted. It's already been,
wow.
If we got exchanges, he's already taken care of them on the bus ride on the way home. I mean, I don't even have time to think about doing those things because these guys have already taken care of it for me.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, like I said, it's been awesome. Cause then I can just, you know, I can go home and I can spend time with my wife or my kids. And now I got a granddaughter, which if that is by beyond the greatest thing ever.
Oh, that's cool.
So
unreal.
It is like,
best thing in the world.
I told somebody, I said, you know, when I met my wife, it's like, gosh, this is the person you're spending the rest of your life with, you know? And that's a neat kind of love. Then you have kids and you're like, that's a whole nother level, you know? It's like, oh, I mean, she'll say the same thing. But then to see that little grandkid, man, I can't even explain that's like. It is the most phenomenal feeling. And she was born on March 1st, so she'll be 3 weeks old this Saturday. So
that's cool.
You know, we got to see her every day this weekend, and I'm just loving every minute of it.
Coach, a lot of people think that officials and coaches have this adversarial relationship.
I live with two of them.
And you've got two of them that are really, really good high school officials and getting better every year. How did that come about?
Well, with Braden, you know, he graduated from Ada. We moved to Grove. He got roped into doing a CYO game. We lived right across the street from the Catholic Church in Grove. And somebody said, hey, can you come ref a game? And he thought, you know, whatever, $20 is $20. So he went over there and started ref some CYO games. Next thing you know, he's getting his license. He's doing some junior high. He's doing freshman. He's talking to Tyler Ford from Allen East about the stuff he does in the NBA. He's sending him game film. Tyler's breaking it down for him. Now he's going to D1 camps the last two summers, and he's doing some college basketball. And
it's fantastic.
Yeah, wow. So he loves it. He often tells me, he goes, I don't know why you do what you do, because I make way more money than you do.
And he's always right.
Once the game's over, I don't have to worry about it, you know. And then somehow Trey just Trey just decided he was going to get into it too. You know, there's a huge need for officials, especially younger officials, to get into the game. And Trey actually did a couple of women's college games with Braden this year.
Yeah.
So those two are having pretty good success with it. They both seem to like it. You know, Braden, you know, he's married now and has his own house, but Trey comes home and has a lot to talk about after a lot of games.
I bet. And
he'll have film and he'll show me. It's like, do you think I made the right call? Did I do this? And you got to appreciate the fact that he's, you know, he's thinking about it and he wants to make sure he's doing things right. And so we have a lot of conversations about reffing. And I never thought that I have zero desire. I mean, I used to pay high school girls $10 to line judge for me in volleyball, so I didn't have to do it. I have no desire to ref.
That's great.
Because the parents had to take turns doing it.
Yeah, right.
So I had a girl, so I knew she played club volleyball in high.
Yeah.
I said,
"See, these are things I'm figuring out right now.
I'll pay you $10 to do that game for me." Okay. I said, "Sweet, thanks."
That's awesome.
Let's talk about a couple of your players before we get to Miles' rapid fire, because he's got some good ones, I'm sure. Two questions. I want you to talk to both of you guys about Zach Zimmerman and Carson Conley. I got to watch him play a couple times. I was super impressed with those two kids. And then I want you to talk about Slade Gossman and the loss at the end of the year and how that affected the kids.
Go ahead.
Zach has a good knowledge of the game, pretty high IQ, great shooter. We're trying to make him a more well-rounded offensive player. Guarded well this year, really, I mean, has learned that there's two ends of the floor and has really improved that end. I think he was tied for our leading rebounder, too. So he's learned that it's not just, I can't just go show up and score. You know, he did that last year, and he's really tried to make himself a more complete player at both ends of the floor. Carson, we scrimmaged at Grove, like over the summer, they did these competitive open gyms or whatever, and we just got our butts kicked. It was not good. I'm home mowing the lawn. I'm just stewing, you know. Just
my phone's going.
It's like June 5th, and I'm about postal.
Season's over.
Yeah, season's over, pretty much. I'm like mowing. I stop, and I text him. I go, I'm moving Carson to the point. I said, I love Colton to death. Colton's maybe 5'8 on a good day, and he's just working his tail off to get that ball up the floor because, you know, people are hounding him, they're bigger than him, and he's one of our best shooters. I thought, shoot, Carson can't shoot a lick. We're going to put the ball in his hands. He's a great rebounder. You know, he's like 6'1, 6'2. He's to bypass the middleman. Just basically, I thought of him as Blake Reynolds. Okay. Blake's going to get every rebound, so we'll just make him the point guard, let him get the rebound, dribble it up, and call it a day. And so we moved Carson to the point, and he's really done a nice job. And that's why, like, when he would make mistakes or when, you know, for a while Colton was kind of struggling to figure out how to play without the ball, you have to remind yourself, it's the first year this kid's played point. It's the first year this kid hasn't played with the ball in his hands, and they're both learning on the job. Mm. So But I love those kids, and they work hard, and they've really improved at both ends of the floor. And, you know, we got Zach for another year, and we got Carson for two more, so we're excited about it.
Was the lawn okay?
Yeah. I think I mowed that one spot for like 5 minutes while I was texting him. So the dogs tear that up anyway. It don't matter.
I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to say? Okay.
Gilly, what did you guys talk to the kids when Slade went down with the injury? And do we know how he is doing and what's the diagnosis, prognosis? Is he going to play, you know, next year?
So he went to the doctor that did his first ACL surgery. Kind of laid out his options of what he could and couldn't do going forward. He could, you know, at that time they thought he could do this and then have surgery, and then that would, you know, kind of take away everything from his senior year. You could try to have it now, maybe be back. I mean, at one time when it happened, I'm like, well, what, how do you look in a Speedo? Because, you know, if you can't play basketball, maybe you can swim. Aiden's got swimming. He's like, because he had talked about it. He goes, the worst part about it was trying to lose all that weight.
He was
talking about possibly swimming, you know, because he thought it would be great rehab, him in shape. But they wanted and when I talked to him after he met with the doctor, he's like, Coach, I just want somebody to tell me what to do. I said, buddy, I can't tell you what to do.
Yeah.
I said, your parents can't. That's a decision that you're going to have to make. And he's a really religious kid, so I'm sure he prayed on it a lot. And they decided just to get a second opinion. Not that it was torn, just can somebody else maybe shed some light on what we need to do? And as he's getting looked at by the second doctor, the doctor starts looking at his joint, and he's like, he gets out this, I don't know. He told me what it was, but he got out some measuring thing, and he started not just measuring his knee, but he was measuring his elbow, he was measuring his fingers, he was doing some things. He goes, all your joints essentially, like, straighten out farther than what they're supposed to. Like, there's a scale, and his go beyond what they're, he goes, it was going to happen again no matter what you did. He goes, so okay. He basically can't believe you made it this long.
Wow.
He said, you can have surgery again. You could go play basketball. You're probably going to tear it again. So he's got surgery scheduled for Monday.
Okay.
24th, right?
Yep. He knows that his career, basketball, football, that is, it's done. Yeah. But he got the answer he needed. Like I said, he wanted somebody to tell him what to do. And, you know, he got to see that doctor. He gave him some answers. Now he knows. And it made the family feel good because you never know. You do it once. Now you do it again.
Right.
Did something happen the first time around in the surgery? Yeah. And the second doctor's like, that guy did a phenomenal job. Did it right. There's nothing he could have done different that would have prevented this. It's just the way your body is.
You know, and the thing about Slade, and Coach and I talked about this, not one time did we see him shed a tear. He was very positive about it. He was very open to both of us. And you could tell he was hurt. He was just physically and emotionally hurt, but he never showed it to Coach and I. And I think, you know, from an inspirational standpoint, Coach doesn't know this. He was in the locker room, and I met with all the kids, and we just had a quiet time, and I told him, I said, you know what? You need to keep Slade in your thoughts and prayers. And I said, understand that this kid is an inspiration to everybody here at Ada Schools. And he's just a great kid. He's a four-point student, and he's got a bright future in front of him. It was just an unfortunate thing. And when he did it, Coach knew. I mean, he came over and told Coach during the game. He said, Coach, it popped. And
it was, you know, crazy.
You've been there. He had a previous athlete that did the same thing years ago.
Yeah, he missed a layup, and I'm like, I'm mad at him on the sideline.
Sure.
Comes down the floor, something happens, you know, and he turns and looks at me, and he just points at his knee, and I thought his brace had broken because it had been kind of, you know, wearing out a little bit. And I said, is it your brace? He goes, no, it's my knee. It popped. I'm like, yeah. So called timeout, got him out of the game. Trainer looked at him, and they thought it was, you know, they do that mobility test. And
it's the worst moment in coaching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not a good thing. The thing with Slade that was different, because he got cleared the day of our Ridgemont game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was at Grove my last year, Tate Burnesser had torn his in the spring, had the surgery, you know, came back. And with, I think, like most kids, there's a lot of reservations about, is it going to happen again?
Absolutely.
And being super cautious about what you're doing. Slade's is nuts. Like that first practice, diving on the floor, people are falling into his legs. He's throwing people out of the way. I'm like, this kid has zero. There's not an ounce. Because I was worried about how long it was going to take.
Right.
Sure. I thought maybe the first of the year we'll get him acclimated. We'll get in shape. He won't be so hesitant. I'm like, that was like on a Thursday. I'm like, shoot, he's playing on Saturday. And he ended up playing Saturday because every kid we had 3 fouls in the first half. So I'm like, well, good thing you're healthy.
Obviously, that wasn't your son's officiating.
No, Coach, not that night.
Coach, you spent a lot of time in Northwest Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in the BVC.
Mm-hmm.
Difference in the two leagues? Was it difficult to make an adjustment from league to league?
I'll say this, coming from Grove to Ada, it's nice to not have to play in two leagues.
Okay. Yeah.
That playing a Friday night Northwest Conference game and to turn around and play in Kaleida or Ottawa or somebody on Saturday, that's a bear, you know. People don't realize, and I'm like I am not watching any film on any team until it's one game at a time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I'm worried about Spencerville on Friday. We're playing Kaleida on Saturday, and I haven't watched any film. And that may sound terrible, but I always had my assistants. I said, you guys can watch film on Saturday night's game. When we show up Saturday morning for walkthrough and shoot around, I said, that's when we'll watch film and get something together and around. And, but yeah, I mean, the BBC, we we played a lot of those teams anyway. Even at Grove, we played okay. Arlington, Van Buren, Liberty Benton. We played a lot of those schools. So it's just, it's nice to do something different.
Sure.
You know, because 14 years at Ada in the NWC, seven more in Grove at the NWC, to be in a different league, playing those schools. It's just, and again, being in one conference makes things nice.
Now, Gilly, congratulations, Hardin County Hall of Fame. What was that like when you found out that you were getting in?
You know, I was sort of shocked, you know, first time ballot to go through, because there's a lot of good Hardin County athletes. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm very humbled to get it. I'm going to be in with a really good group that's going in. You know, actually, Miles, all the coaches that I've worked with at Kenton's all coming back.
Really?
And this, you know, this fella here, I owe him a lot to the coaches. I'm a nobody without the head coaches. Mm. And I've been very fortunate throughout my career to work with not only high-quality men with high character, but a lot of them are great fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, and I owe a lot to them. So, but I'm very fortunate and very blessed, and it's going to be a special time because I'm very – and Danny knows this. I'm very close to my mom.
Right.
You know, and she's battled some things. So for her to be able to see this is pretty special for me.
That is cool. That's neat.
So, Gil, tell me about – I mean, Chris has talked about, you know, you helping him out, and you don't have to do this. You want to do this because you love being in the program, right?
I love being in the program. I love being around the kids, and I trust this man 150%. Whatever the percentage is, I trust him. We have a great working relationship. We're great friends. We go all the way back to our time at Perry. And, you know, it's hard to find good people to work with. And secondly, to trust him. And you know what? I could leave my wallet out or whatever it is, and I know that Chris would never do anything that's out of character. He's a guy of high character, and his reputation is impeccable in Northwest Ohio and throughout the state of Ohio as a basketball coach and as a person.
Wow.
Well, I got to tell a story.
Sure, absolutely. We love stories.
I'm going to see if this changes his mind about me. So we had – so you know your seat?
Oh, the cushion.
So he's got the cushion he takes with him and uses on the bench. So we had our end of the season interviews.
I've never seen him sit on a bench. I'll be honest with you. He's always standing.
Yeah. So we have our end of the year interviews with all the kids, and the cushion that was in the locker room, it's missing. It's every kid, where's my cushion? They're throwing each other under the bus left and right. It was hilarious.
Kids are.
What Gilly doesn't know is that I had put it in the locker in the coach's office, and it was in the office with us the whole time. I just enjoyed watching him, like, interrogate the kids.
And coach, I think so-and-so's
Brown
got it.
Took it.
I think so-and-so's got it. Well, that's good. My trust factor. Yeah. It's all right, buddy. I still trust you.
It is fun to watch Gilly get mad, though, isn't it?
I tell the story all the time. Gilly coaches on Friday night with Chris, and then if they don't have a game on Saturday, they always pair Gilly and I at a game for WSN. And if they lost and I had to pick him up, oh, my gosh. The whole ride there was – he was mad at somebody, something, you know. And I'm glad I was a
I will player. Say this. We are two of the most competitive people.
Oh, I believe that.
That I've worked with. And that is – I think that's partly why we get along so well. I mean, kids are like in practice. I mean, here say something to me and I'll say something back. It's nothing demeaning or demoaning or anything rude, but the kids are like, wow, both coaches they're at it tonight in practice. And you could see that I think it feeds off the kids. I think the kids have
– Oh, absolutely. It builds that intensity.
Taken to it and, yeah.
All right, guys, I have some rapid-fire questions for you, okay? All right. And some I'll ask for both of you, some I'll just ask one of you, okay? And I'll start with you, Coach, here. What's your favorite type of breed of dog?
Oh, I love German Shepherds.
Really?
I've never owned one, but they're just their intelligence and how loyal they are and just their imposing figure and just – always loved German Shepherds.
I would have swore to be Bulldogs.
That was cheesy. So lame.
Gilly, regular or mini corn dogs?
Oh, it's mini corn dogs with mustard.
How many times have we went out to eat together?
Set up on this. They do this on Saturday mornings, too. It's just a continuation.
Danny, you got to tell the mini corn dog story, don't you?
Well, he just likes mini corn dogs. Every time we go out to eat, he's getting mini corn dogs.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Now, both of you guys on this one, you both say that you're ultra competitive, right? So if you played one-on-one basketball right now, who wins?
I'm kicking his butt. I have artificial hips. I'm still taking him down.
This one. I'm trying to shoot with the kids in practice, and we've got the gun out. First two or three shots I shoot, don't even get it over the net. That's how bad it is.
Wow.
Go to the foul line, shoot a free throw, don't get it over the net.
Oh, wow.
So 62 is a little different than what, 52?
Yeah. Okay.
So he would kick. Right. He,
Aaron, is this different when you and I were on the same team back when I moved here?
Oh, my goodness.
I thought you shot like that then.
I had the bona fide Kareem Abdul hook shot back then.
Yeah.
No, in all seriousness, the kid, or this fella right here, can teach shooting.
You called him the kid.
Because he is to me. Yeah.
He came
really
in
is.
The next day. He's like, I'm so sore.
I was sore. My hamstrings and my hips. 62. I'm like, my goodness gracious.
All right. This one's for you, Coach. You brought up one of the funniest questions ever earlier. Do you look good in a Speedo? How many times have you asked Gilly that?
Can I tell him what you texted?
I don't care. Tell him what I was going to wear tonight. No, don't do that.
No, I'm not doing that. It's a family show. I'm just saying that. I have never thought of him being in a Speedo.
Yeah, scary, right?
Yes.
All right, this one's for both of you guys. A shot clock in high school basketball, yes or no? Yes.
All for it?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. How much time are you talking? 32nd or 24?
I think 30 is good. Both teams at least get one possession every minute.
See, I have mixed reservations. If you got the guards can take care of the basketball.
Yeah.
And milk the clock.
Now, to be fair, we burned a ton of clock against LCC. We knew that we had to control tempo. I mean, so without it, we used that to our advantage.
Yeah, we sure did.
To try to limit their possessions, not let them, play fast. But I would love to have one. I would love to play fast. I think it adds to the strategy of the game. Coaches have to, that late shot clock situation. What are you running there with 7-8 seconds left?
Right.
I think it just – and, you got kids that want to play beyond the high school level. I think it's just one more thing that helps prepare them to play in college.
Yeah, great point. Last one's for Gilly. What's Bigfoot really like?
Does he eat corn dogs?
Now you started in. I don't like you anymore. Am I fired?
Not yet.
No. Thanks, Miles. I love you too.
I had to.
I know.
Chris, you've been doing this a long time. Do you have any mentors, any coaches that you really look up to that you aspire to be when you were coming up through the ranks, or guys that really helped you out a lot, or did you just pretty much do your own thing?
We were at Perry together. I coached with Minig, and at that time he was really the only guy I had coached with. So I felt like the things that he was teaching the kids are still some of the same things that we do today, Yep. I think a lot of that came from the Bobby Knight school of coaching, and he was pretty good. So if you're gonna learn from somebody or take away things from somebody, Bobby Knight's a good person, but I always thought Minig was a great guy, great coach, always had success at Perry. Respect the heck out of Brian Schrader and what he does with the girls program at Columbus Grove. I think for me, it's not, I do my own thing. I think I have a lot of respect for the guys I coach with, Kevin Sensabaugh, Jeremy Best, those guys that have just been doing it like as long as I have, but yeah, you kind of take bits and – I don't think anybody has anything original anymore. You're just kind of borrowing from this person. Mm-hmm. You see something on TV and it's like, oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. And you try to implement something similar. You see it in the NBA and you're like, okay, how can I get my 5'8 point guard? How can I get that same action with the kids I got? But it's just – you just kind of take things with you year in and year out from different coaches and things you see on TV. I think the big thing – this year, by the time I was done at Grove, I didn't even watch basketball. I was like go home, I would History Channel or something right, like right. Science Channel. Now it's like I am me and my wife all weekend on the couch watching basketball the whole time. It's like I just love watching the game of basketball again, and it's nice to have that feeling back. Mm.
Yeah, you got a really good AD you work for. I think he's one of the best in the business. He means a lot to you in the program, doesn't he?
Jokums, absolutely.
Yeah. He we did a game over there earlier this year, and we hadn't been at Aiden in a long time. And boy, he took care of us.
Oh, he always does.
He's good. Yeah, he's
and fantastic. He'd gotten out of it too while I was gone. You know, a little bit. Now it's kind of we're all full circle. He's back into being the AD, and we're back coaching and. It's like the whole gang's back together again.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming in. We really appreciate it. Best of luck next year. We talked earlier this year about the next year and teams that we're watching for. And you guys are going to be one of those teams that everybody's watching
Absolutely.
For. You got a great roster coming back and great coaches and good quality people. So and that means a lot. So congratulations on all your success, both of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Wish you guys nothing but success. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you.
All right, guys, let's talk about the tournament and your reaction to Columbus Grove and Fort Loramie in the state final games. Columbus Grove wins the state title. Fort Loramie falls by 2.
About Columbus Grove, man, what an amazing moment. And you talk about coaches that get kids to know their role and then thrive in that role and accept that role, and that's what their role is. Is there a better team than Columbus Grove that did that this year? I mean, they have so many players thrived in their individual roles and came together as a great team. We did the semifinal game for them. I mean, it was just such a fun ride to watch them. And, of course, Lauren Nock-Moody, I mean, one of those generational-type talents.
Yeah.
But not only that, Coach took some young players and blended them in with her and got them ready to compete at a state championship level.
Yeah.
And that they did.
I had him on the radio today, and I asked him about next year, and he just smiled because he's got everybody coming back except Lauren Ockmoody, who's a huge piece of that team. But to build around what he's got coming back, I'm telling you guys, they're going to be a force next year.
Go ahead, Miles.
I was just going to say, you remember at the beginning of the year, everybody would just say Lauren Ockmoody. But as the season progressed, there was another name and another name, another name. He did a great job of really developing everybody around that basketball team.
Yeah. We mentioned Fort Loramie. Carla Siegel got her team to the state championship game 2 points away from winning yet another championship without her starting point guard.
Yeah, that's a great
point. And you have to have point guards. They don't have to be the best player on your team, but you have to have good point guard play. She lost a really good point guard, found a way to overcome that and still get her team within 2 points for state championship.
Victoria Mesher was fantastic.
Absolutely.
When she moved in that spot.
Yeah, that rivalry between Fort Loramie and Waterford is becoming something of we can talk about for years to come. That Waterford team, 3 state titles in the last 10 years, and Fort Loramie, obviously, with state titles. And well, I think we're not done with that chapter.
No, and she's such a classy lady, Carla Siegel, right?
Yeah, she is.
Because you heard what she said after the game, right? She says, hey, Waterford was just so much better defensively this year. And they were, because they held Avery Brandaway to only 8 points. And you think you're going to hold her to 8 points, you got a good shot to win the state title. But they only did it by 2 points. So, yeah, it tells you how good that game was.
Guys, the last couple of weeks, we, us three here in particular, and most of us at WSN, have been living at the Stroh Center in Bowling Green, which is absolutely, I'm telling you, it is becoming one of my favorite, if not my favorite place to broadcast from. It's just you're treated great. The sight lines are great. The facility is great. Everything is great about it. Your thoughts about BG?
Well, first of all, I love the old gym.
Anderson Arena.
Anderson Arena was cool.
So what they have tried to do is incorporate the same look, the open end and the kind of horseshoe shape and whatever, and then modify it to the more modern seating arrangements and so on. It is a wonderful facility. It's not as loud as Anderson Arena.
No, Anderson Arena
might have been the loudest arena of its size around, and it's not that. But it's a great place to go. The people are always very good. And the number of games that they ran in there, and to keep they had their staff be upbeat and positive.
It
was a really good experience. 4 district, 4 regional. Let's stop there.
We'll get to that. 100% behind you.
I do love going there because at the end, I went in there the last night and I said, you guys tired of tournament basketball yet? And the guy looked at me and goes, no, we love it. And I'm like, oh, these guys get it. They get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, next week or this weekend coming up, we will be down at UD Arena, University of Dayton. What do you guys like about Dayton hosting the state tournament?
I like
it. And it's a one game. Excuse me. It's a one game. Right. It's not the state. I call it the state tournament, but it's the state championship.
It's state championship. Right. Yeah. Right. No more four games down there for semifinal.
Mark and I started.
No, easy, guys. Yeah. Easy, guys. But I like it because it does have it's close enough. It's small enough, but it does have that big environment feel to it. I really enjoyed it last year. I thought they did a really good job handling us, the media, right? Yeah. And I thought they did a good job of taking care of the kids and making sure all teams were held, were taken care of.
Well, let's start with this, Danny. Everybody says, why can't we go back to Schottenstein? What's going on at Schottenstein this Friday and Sunday? They're hosting the women's NCAA tournament.
Right.
They
right.
couldn't do that if the OHSAA was there.
Right.
And I fully agree with what Ohio State has done. They would have had to have that facility available for wrestling one weekend, girls' state basketball tournament one weekend, boys' state basketball tournament one weekend, and shut their own people out 3 weekends in a row. I understand what OSU has done. So with that in mind, I think Dayton's a wonderful facility. They treat us very, very well. Mm-hmm. There's no parking fee. They in and out very easily.
That is really cool.
In and out, they like being there. They're going to host college tournament games on Tuesday and Wednesday, take Thursday off, have us in there on Friday and Saturday, and they're all going to be smiling and happy. And so I do like the event. Would I like to see it at Schottenstein? Sure. But I understand why Ohio State doesn't want it there.
Yeah, I 100% agree with both of you. I would rather it be in Columbus just for selfish reasons. But let me just say this. University of Dayton welcomes us. They are a gracious host.
They like us there.
Yeah, they do. And some kind of petty things. Their concessions are reasonably priced. Their parking is fantastic. It is the best parking. There's no parking passes. No, you need this.
No trouble getting in and out.
Nope. You can park and walk into your seat and be in 5 minutes. And some of the friendliest people in the world. There's not a bad seat in the house. I've been down to Dayton Flyer games, as a kid and stuff like that. Started going down there in 1985. Following high school basketball and stuff like that. And as a kid, I was a Dayton Flyer fan. Roosevelt Chapman, Don Donaher.
Sure.
Those are the days.
George Janke.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, you got to go back to my era.
Yeah, right. But I think the University of Dayton does a great job, and they're not going to lose this. They're not, because they're doing a great job.
Danny, here's the basketball arena, and right here is the football stadium. And what's it say across the top of the football stadium?
Welcome. Yep, welcome.
And
stadium.
I always feel that way when I go to the University of Dayton.
I'll tell you how big of a sports junkie I was a kid, which I'm still in. I used to watch the Mike Kelly Show. Do you know who Mike Kelly is?
Oh, absolutely.
He used to be the head coach of University of Dayton.
Yeah.
I would get up on Saturday or Sunday mornings and watch the Mike
Coaches
Kelly
shows
Show.
Were the best
my
back
dad
in
would be
the
like,
day,
what,
weren't
what
they?
What are you doing, son? Yeah. What are you doing? I'm like, watching Dayton Flyer football.
What do you mean, Dad? Why aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Guys, we've talked about this a lot and the issues that the OHSA needs to fix with the switch to the division. Maybe you don't feel they need to switch anything. Maybe you're happy with the way it is. I'm reserving judgment until this weekend. We'll see how that goes. But I think it's fair that we give them a shot here this weekend.
I just think people need to kind of readjust their thoughts and the way they look at it, right? You're going to have blowouts in the regional rounds now, right?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, those were some of the games that would be in the district. So once you get that thought process, sometimes the matchups aren't going to be marquee in that regional, right? And you're going to get a 30-point blowout. You might get a running clock. That, to me, a running clock at the regional was, I was just, whoa, what's going on? This should not be happening at the regional. But can I bring up the shot clock issue? Can I? All right. I had two games in the tournament where one time a team ran off a minute 38, another time a team ran off a minute 42, under 4 minutes left in the second half. And they both were 3-4 point games. To me, that's not competitive basketball. That's not fun basketball. And what's your recourse? Well, you foul the guy. Oh, okay, he's got two free throws. It's not the same as an old one-on-one where he's got some stress, right? Shawnee, I loved them. They had a great season, but they ran up against that against Sandusky. They had one guard that was absolutely fantastic, and he would just dribble around forever, and they had to wind up just fouling him, and he went and made his free throws. See, it's not as a fan of basketball, it's not fun to watch.
But let me push back a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, if I'm a team that we're just not very good, we're going to lose games worse than if we didn't have a shot, right?
I mean,
if we don't have shooters and I don't have ball handlers, I'm going to get beat by 30 and 40.
Then you know what? That next offseason, you work really, really hard to get good.
Here's the way I view it. 30 seconds on the clock, right?
Yeah.
Okay, when you get down to about 10 or 11 or 12, what's the coach do? He stops the action, backs the ball back up to midcourt. Everybody stands for a second. Then they go into their playing for the last turnover before you, you get the shot.
Last turnover. You know? I love that.
So you get a bad shot or you get a turnover trying to force a shot to beat the shot clock. I'm not a shot clock guy. I do understand what you're saying. I want to see teams play. I'm not sure the shot clock's the answer.
Guys, do you think the state championship games will be highly attended? And I just want to start. I've said it for the last 8-10 weeks. I do not think they will. And that doesn't mean there won't be people there. There will be a good crowd there. There will be this community's crowd and this community's crowd. But what I think you're missing on is the guy that would have went down for the whole weekend.
I agree.
And
with
I think that that's going to be a problem. And look, the girls' games were... They said we're good attendance. 3,200, that's not what I'm used to seeing. Right. 3,500.
Right. It's not a basketball junkie weekend anymore.
Right.
Right.
No,
in the old days, every basketball junkie in the state of Ohio would migrate there because we're just going to watch basketball. Now it's just the communities that are going, right? So the Division VII game, I'm really worried about what that attendance is going to be like. But thank God, Rushi made it. You know, Rushi's going to be
absolutely 5,000 people themselves.
But if you got two schools that maybe are just academy-type schools and you're going to have maybe 1,000 people at it, that's not a good look.
Well, the Rushi's going to be playing a school, Cornerstone Christian, which doesn't have a school district.
Yeah.
How many people are they going to bring?
Right.
Just
I wonder how many people are going to go, you know what, I want to see Kwasniak play.
Yes, yes.
Now, we're going to talk about the matchups here a little bit later on, so we'll kind of duck that for a moment. But I
think the worst thing that happened to the state tournament was when Marcus Johnson got beat this weekend.
I agree. Heights,
who's going to be Mr. Basketball? Yeah. We can debate it all we want. He's going to be Mr. Basketball.
Right.
He's the best player in the state of Ohio. He is an NBA player.
Might be the savior of Buckeye basketball.
Maybe so. But I really think the OHSA took a hit when they got beat. Because look, when LeBron was there, and I'm not saying he's LeBron, but you know, when big time players are there, people will go watch. And they will watch them. So who or what are you excited about this weekend at the finals?
Like Mark said, there's always those marquee names. I don't want to get too far ahead like Mark, those marquee names that you want. And I want to see if Hershey can go undefeated and go all the way through.
They're
it,
impressive,
right?
Weren't
right.
They?
And I want to see if Marion Local can duplicate their success in fall and in the winter, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, Danny, has anyone ever done that before? Has everyone ever won a fall state title? And then a winner state title. Have they done that?
Yeah, have they done that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to see Maslin Perry.
Yes.
How do you go through the season with a losing record and end up in the state finals?
That's amazing.
I want to see Maslin Perry.
Yeah.
How they'll play against Westerville North, I hope they make it competitive, keep a game. I want to see the game played closely.
24-2,
I want to see how they got there and what they do. And I'm interested in Lutheran East.
Oh, absolutely. Know,
they beat Richmond Heights. I want to see them play this time. And then the D1 game, Olentangy Orange at 25-2, Reynoldsburg at 26-1, the final game of the tournament. I think that's going to be a really good game. Obviously, we have an interest in the two games of our particular local area, but those are the games that kind of draw me,
too. Yeah, I want to see the Division 5 game, guys. Lutheran East plays Columbus Academy. And I don't know if you know this, and Mark may, but since you're not from it, the last time Columbus Academy played in the state championship was 1981. Kaleida beat them that year for the state championship.
That's
and
awesome.
Columbus Academy is 28-0. I'm a big fan of seeing teams go all the way and win it all. So I would think that would be a cool thing if they could pull that off. Lutheran East.
Going undefeated, absolutely.
Big matchup, guys, if you're able to change the final locations, where would you play?
I have the answer.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, where did you guys love to go watch it play before?
Columbus.
Right.
Yeah.
But where did you like, which arena did
St. John's.
St. John's.
Why?
Yeah.
It's still there.
Yeah. Yeah.
They haven't torn it down.
Right.
There's all kinds of buildings in Columbus that you could do other things at. Nationwide Arena's there, too. If they wanted to put the Big Ten title or Big Ten tournament there, they could do that as well. Why not move it back to St. John's Arena? Just for the old nostalgia feel, you might get some people back for a year or so and rediscover how much they love high school basketball.
Yeah, Mark, are you good with Dayton? Are you?
Well, I agree, Miles. If they could put it back. Now, that building, I've been in that building when it's 110 degrees in that building.
Oh, I have too.
It's awesome.
I've been in the rafters of that building
when
I thought I was going to fall out and land on the court.
Yeah.
It has some real negatives to it, but it's a wonderful place to watch high school basketball game too. I can see that. I'm not sure that would be a draw to people, let's say, younger than us, going to bring them back to see the games in Columbus anymore, but I think so. I'm not sure where else you would go other than Dayton. You know, you're going to put it at OU. Are you going to put it at Akron? You're going to put it at Kent? You're going to put it at Toledo? That just polarizes it even more.
It does.
I think Dayton's as good as it gets if we can't go back to Columbus.
I agree with you. I think there's only two locations other than Dayton you can have it, is just St. John's or Nationwide. I think that's the only place you can have it if the Schottenstein's not open or not available. But to me, the St. John's Arena was some of the greatest memories of my youth and my growing up, you know, being a father and taking my son down there. And
if we can get Jimmy Jackson to make a pass to Treg Lee and he dunks it. What do you think? We'll get us started that way. Yeah, that's right.
Let's do it. Yeah.
I've just never been a big fan of the Schottenstein Center for basketball. I've been there for other things, but as a basketball arena, it's just I've never fallen in love with it.
Because of how hockey has to be arranged in that facility as well. And you know what I'm not a fan of? Chair seats.
Yeah.
They're too comfortable.
You're quiet.
Okay, I'm happy also, just to sit here.
Schottenstein built that. They built it for a multi-purpose.
It was an NBA arena.
So they wanted concerts and they wanted conventions and things like that.
People like
and
seeing Billy Joel at it.
Exactly. Yeah. He's an uptown girl. Why should people go to the finals?
Oh, man, the drama, right? Right, the people watching, right? The excitement. And to me, it's a time machine. You walk in, that first ball goes up in the air. You've talked to people that you haven't seen in forever, right? You've made those connections again. And then you forget about everything that's going on in the world, right? You forget about checking your phone. You forget about everything because the action that is going on the floor, it just mesmerizes you. And the next thing you know, your day just flew by and you had so much fun.
It's awesome, yeah.
Isn't there a golf tournament where they have something about a tradition that
tradition like no other,
It's become that way for me. This will be 49 in a row for me.
That's awesome.
You know, I should be 50, but we had the COVID year stuck in there. It's a time to see friends that you don't see very often, and I'm curious if those people are coming back again. You know, when you can just come in and see your team and go home rather than spend two nights in a motel and go out to dinner together or you know, things like that. I'm curious how that will all play out this year. I've got state program, the program itself, from I think almost every one of those.
Do you really?
I do.
That's awesome.
And I'll probably look through them sometime, if not this week before I go when I get back. And I'll add this one to the collection, you know, that I've got. And it's just, it's a tradition. I like history. I like history of sport, too. It's a tradition to be there.
That's cool.
My first state tournament that I ever went to was 1985. Jackson Center played Graysville Skyview. Jackson Center had a kid named Jeff Teeters who hits the last second shot to win the game. It was one of the greatest games I've ever been part of. Jeff Teeters, Brian Scoggins, Tony Meyer, those were the guys from Jackson Center. And Graysville Skyview had a kid named Mitch Hannis on his team, and they were so good. And it was such an incredible game. And I remember, get this, you guys will know this, the state semifinal that Jackson Center beat Columbus Worley and Jerry Francis and Eli Brewster and Kevin Haddock and those guys that were really good. And so I went down and watched that game. And then 1989 was the first year I ever went for the whole weekend. We'd go to bits and pieces of games, but 1989, I got to go for the whole weekend. And I'll never forget Jimmy Jackson and then the next couple years, Lima Senior. And then so I could just go through the teams. But I took my son there. And he grew up going to state tournaments with me, and the cast of characters that I've hung out with all those years, and I've missed one since 1989, and that was the year that my son graduated from the United States Navy. You know, we're getting these calls from Brandon. He's in the Navy, and he's like, "Oh, here's my graduation date," and I'm like,
"Oh no!"
And my wife laughed at me. She's like, "You're not going to the state tournaments." I go, "I'm not going to the state tournaments." Yeah. So it means an incredible amount to me.
But I was in the arena at St. John's when Clark Kellogg scored 53 points.
Oh,
and they lost.
Nice.
And they lost.
Yes.
To three guys who were his teammates at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Okay. By chance, my seats were in the second row. The scorer's table was right here, and I watched Rusty Miller. Keep score. And he ran out of space. He's filling in Clark Kellogg, and he's running out of space. I keep looking over. There's not panels hanging down, you know, with a scoreboard. The game ended. You knew that they were going to lose. St. Joe's going to lose. Clark Kellogg came over, sat on the bench, put a towel over his head, and just he was utterly, physically, and emotionally exhausted.
Yeah.
He had taken four average high school basketball players to the state finals.
That's awesome.
And lost to three guys who played in the Big Ten as teammates. And, you know, that silly song we play at the end of the NCAA, One Shining Moment, when you know you were alive, he lost, but at that moment, he knew he was alive.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the reasons you go down there, to see things like that,
take place.
Mark, I think of this, and you guys remember this. I think of Ottawa Glandorf and the Politz twins, and they never won a state title because they had to go through, guess who each year?
LeBron
James.
Yeah.
Every year they had to go through LeBron James. And I think about how good they were and how good those teams were, and they just never got it done.
Well, LeBron didn't win it every year, though.
No, he didn't. Cincinnati Roger Bacon got it. Cincinnati Roger Bacon.
We were at Toledo doing one of those games, and they're taking a picture of LeBron's team winning the regional championship. And there's a girl behind me. We just got done telecasting, and she's screaming, "Sign this! Sign this!" So I turned around with a pen and I said, "Where at?" "Not you."
Mark's been mistaken for LeBron James.
Many times.
All right, guys, let's take a look at the preview for this weekend. Marion Local at 26-2 takes on Monroe Central 25-3. Guys, look, I'm a homer, but I really like Marion Local in this game. I love their size. I said to a guy who asked me before the game the other night, he goes, "Hey," he was from Arlington, or he was from Colonel Crawford. He said, "How good are these guards from Marion Local?" And I said, "Your kids are going to be able to tell what they're, if they're chewing bubble gum, what their breath smells like." I said, "They will come up on you." I've never, never in all my years seen guards that defend like this. They're the deal, man. I'm telling you.
Well, I think it starts with Mesher, right? He is just tough as nails. Yeah. He really gets five fouls, but in reality, it's seven because two aren't going to get called because he is just so physical, right? I just thought he set the tone defensively in that game against Colonel Crawford. He was absolutely magnificent. And then, of course, how do you not like Austin Niekamp, right? What a matchup nightmare he is. When he is at the top of the key for the three, watch out. Something's on.
Miles about them and Coach Guttemuller. It could be a 5-point game, a 4-point game, a 15-point game. When Niekamp goes to the top and comes off that screen, Coach is telling him, shoot it. I love that trust he has in that kid.
Yeah.
Monroe Central.
You're right.
And if you look on their school website, they're known as the Switzerland of Ohio. I don't think Switzerland of Ohio is being a basketball type community,
No.
Maybe they slalom down the court or however they get there. I don't know how all that works. They got 16 victories of their 25, though, have been by 21 points or more.
Yeah, that is impressive.
Now, can they put that numbers up against that Marion Local defense? I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I think the Flyers are in really good shape. I think when they won last weekend against Colonel Crawford, they won a state championship.
All right, so the Seminoles, right? Is that what they're called?
They are.
Yeah, the Seminoles. Yeah.
Seminoles, which, when you think of the Swiss Alps, you think of the Seminoles, right?
Sure.
Low Seminole win,
Well, Tucker Howell was co-player of the year in the district, right? So they got a guy who can play. He averages 16 a game. They got a couple other guys.
All-time leading scorer.
Yeah, his brother is average sophomore, averages 9 a game. So they got some guys that can play.
I'll just say this. I watched Marion Local play in the regional semifinals. And they went up against a kid who was the player of the year in that conference.
Yeah.
He had four.
Yeah.
I know.
He had four. Look, they've won 15 of 16. It's a nice club, but they're in a league that has three losing teams with losing records. There's two league teams in that league with 500 records and one winning record. It's a great accomplishment they got there. I just don't think people understand the difference in what Marion Local was about.
You had me on your radio gig on Fridays. But you wouldn't let me give my top 10 players and my coach of the year. You canned my part of the segment before we got to that.
Start the writing letter campaign now.
Kurt Guttemuller.
Hate mail on the show.
Kurt Guttemuller was my coach of the year.
Yeah.
Okay, now this was I did this on a Sunday at the end of the regular season. I put together my top 10 players and my coach of the year. He was coach of the year. They won 11 games in 23 days. He took a team out of football and did some amazing things with them.
Yeah, 11 out of 23 days they played or something?
11
out of
23 days.
That's amazing.
Exactly. That's what I meant to say. Thanks, Miles. So the point is, I think this is one more step for them. I think this is another state championship for his team.
Okay, so real quick, though.
Yeah.
Chance Allen, 20 points against Kirtland, right? And a lot of people thought Kirtland would win that one, right?
Wouldn't that have been great?
Right.
They'd have matched up.
Kirtland, Marion Local.
It would have been fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, Mason Lang, their coach, though, he said they got to take care of the basketball, which every coach is going to say that, right? However, they won by going 4 of 15 from the free throw line. How many times do you ever go 4 of 15 from the free throw line and advance?
If the officials call it, you're going to go to the free throw line more than that against Murray Local. You better make some of them.
Yeah.
Guys, Rushi takes on Cornerstone Academy. Rushi comes in 29-0. Cornerstone Academy 21-8. Cornerstone Academy is led by the all-time leading scorer in the state of Ohio in boys basketball. His name is Quinn Kwasniak. Mark, they call him
Turtle. You cannot be nicknamed Turtle and lead the state of Ohio in scoring.
Yeah. Okay. His father was a coach for Villa Angela St. Joe, yep. The same school Clark Kellogg,
correct.
Desmond Howard, Elvis Gerback. I can go on and on. He is now at Cornerstone Christian or Cornerstone Academy. They take on Rushi. Guys, this Nick can roll the photo, roll the tape. I picked them from day one to win the state title.
Huh.
They're about to do that.
Huh.
Yes, they're going to do that. Yeah.
I said this, and I'll continue to say this. Rushi is my pick for your D7 state champion right now. If I got to go early, I think they're the premier team. They've got the experience. They're loaded, fellas. They've got really good coaching. They've got great tradition.
So you like Rushi to win it
I
all?
Do. Okay. I do. They're the only team that gave Richmond Heights anything last year.
That game.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. A guy by the name of Turtle, you would think is definitely the best three-point shooter in state history, right?
Yeah, that's
what it says. He's a turtle-less, turtle-y three-point shooter we've ever seen, right?
Yeah.
Right. How good is this cat?
He's a shell of himself.
Let's just hope he doesn't stick his head inside that shell when he sees that defense from Rushi come after him.
Miles, to answer your question, he's going to the Army Academy next year.
Yep.
His mother was a basketball player at Army.
Yep.
It is an athletic family. He just doesn't have a lot of help. I'm just going to say that.
Averages 38 a game, I think.
Yes, 38 a game?
That's ridiculous. From what I understand, he's one of those guys, he steps in the gym, that's his range, right?
Yes.
He's going to shoot the three. So that always terrifies you, right? Because that guy gets hot, watch out.
Yeah.
It's a team that's high octane, have been a high of 92 points throughout the season, 10 times over 80 points. Yeah. But they haven't seen the type of guys that Rushi's going to throw at you. Rushi is so long, so athletic. You can't ever turn the corner on them. I just think that Rushi controls the tempo and wins this one maybe like 62-54, and Kwasniak gets 30 of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I was so impressed with Rushi last week. They did what they had to do against Calvin Willow, the 6'10 post player from Arlington. They went straight at him. They knew they were going to get some blocks, and they just kept going at him. Their bigs are so athletic. They're so good.
Great job of limiting Vermilion in the second half, too. He did a great job of keeping them, Arlington, in that ball game, but they took him out in the second half, and that was when the runaway took place.
Before we get to the Stolle sensational team of the week and our favorites there, do you guys have a game that you're most excited about this weekend at the state tournament? I had mentioned earlier about Columbus Academy. I want to see them. And then Rushi, I want to see if they can get it. But is there one game that just excites you?
I think the one we just talked about, because it's, you know, styles make fights, right?
Yeah.
And you got that contrast style. If Cornerstone Academy can make this into a 70 to 80 point game, then they have got a real good chance to win it. But if it is a pound it and we're going to bring the ball up slow kind of game, there's no doubt in my mind Rushi wins it.
Rushi.
I want to see the Flyers. I'm going to go see all seven basketball games. I hope all seven of them are good. I want to see the Flyers close it out.
Yeah, we all three, Rushi?
Oh, yes, sir.
All Rushi three, wins. Marion
yeah.
Local?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's exactly what I think. All right, guys, who is your Stolle superstar and your Stolle sensational team of the week? Stolle Insurance, what a great representative.
Go get your Stolle.
Go get your Stolle. Stolle, get your Stolle.
He said that like 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Go out and get your Stolle.
Yeah. Good golly, Molly, go get your Stolle. I'm bucking for a chance to do their commercial.
I see
that. Danny Holbrook, and you need your Stolle.
Me and Wilford Brimley.
Who's first?
Go ahead, Mark.
All right. My superstar of the week was Braylon Cardonier.
Can't go wrong.
He had 28 against Arlington. He averages 14 a game. Yeah. He got 28 against Arlington in that state semi game the other night. And he made Calvin Willow make a choice. I'm either going to guard you at the free throw line area and let Dominic Francis run around the baseline, or I'm going to back up and guard him, and you're going to shoot over me and score. And you are right. They were bigger, physical. They took the ball into Calvin Willow and says, son, I got strength, and I'm going to go right through you. You might block a couple, and I'm going to go through you and score. And then I liked him in the postgame, right? What do you say in the postgame? I wish basketball's over. I'm a baseball guy, Dad. And his dad said, I knew this was coming.
Because he got a state championship caliber baseball team.
I'm going to Marshall and play baseball. I wish basketball was over.
Oh, jeez.
What a guy. He's my guy. Okay?
That's good.
State semifinal press conference. With your dad sitting there, Dad going, because I knew this was coming.
So we have to keep playing.
Yeah, I guess. And I'll bet you he's in the gym hitting the cage right now. Probably something like that. But Dallas is my team. Okay, Rushi's my team. I like what Coach Cordonnier's done.
So do I.
You know, a lot of people don't understand. He's got 11 seniors. Mm-hmm. In today's world, you're trying to keep 11 young men in their last year of high school happy?
Yeah. Good luck.
Okay, that's an issue. Number two of those guys on his team are number 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, who don't get to play a lot, and they're seniors, and they have bought into that. That's my team. That's my coach this week.
Well, you watched him on the bench. They have definitely bought in.
They absolutely have.
Their enthusiasm is there, without a doubt. I'm going to go with Kendall Pulte at Columbus Grove. 10 big points early in that 20-2 run, which if I was a basketball coach and I'm in the state title and we're up 20-2, I know myself. I'd be like, oh, no. You know, because most people are like, we're excited, but you're like, oh, do we have enough energy left? And they're going to make a run, and how do we stop that run at some point in time? I would have had that moment of dread, but when you have Kendall Pulte on your team, and she played absolutely fantastic down the stretch, and of course, my team of the week, Columbus Grove, the Lady Bulldogs, they definitely deserve it.
Yeah, I'm going to copy. I agree. I think anytime a small community like Columbus Grove wins a state title, it means so much more than when the big schools win it. I know it does mean a lot for everybody, but we live and die by our sports and art in this area.
Yeah.
And we associate ourselves with the wins and losses, and we associate ourselves with the mascots and the colors and the pride. And for me, I got to talk to Brian Schrader today, and I've talked to Brian 3 or 4 times the last couple of weeks. He's fantastic.
Yeah, really good dude.
He comes into the radio station today, and he brought his wife with him, and he said she's part of this. And she came in the studio, and she was so gracious and so nice. And he brought in Lauren Ockmoody. He brought in Nicole Nesbitt. And he brought in Kendall Paul. This is the first time I got to talk to Kendall, and it was so nice to talk to her and Nicole. I've talked to Lauren quite a few times, but they were so excited. They were so humble. There was no bragging about it. It was just a matter. And Brian said, we're going down there for a business trip, and we're going to win, and then we're going to celebrate. And I asked him, I said, Coach, when did you finally let go? And he goes, 2 minutes and 30 seconds in that game. I looked around, and I'm like, We're going to win the state championship. And that was he had that smile mark. And you guys have all been there. We've all been there. Our favorite teams have won championships. And it means so much more when you're part of it.
Did you see the Facebook video of them pulling in town and everybody in Main Street there enjoying it? Yeah. That was really cool.
Yep.
All right, guys, I don't want to do it, but we're going to talk about the Buckeyes. Yeah, we're going to talk. It's going to be a quick segment because we're all just kind of over it already. Guys, what happened this year? I mean, we've talked it to death.
Yeah, tough to make the tournament when you go 4-7 in your last 11, right?
Yeah.
There were so many of those big moments this year where he's like, this is the team that's finally turned a corner, right? So many big wins, and then you'd have that terrible loss against Northwestern, right? I just wonder, do we have buyer's remorse? Did we all fall in love with Jake Diebler and the Ohio kids story and the nice turnaround, the big win at Purdue last year, and we all fell in love with that and said, yes, this is our guy because we wanted it to happen, and we made a mistake because the guy that got hired up in the Mitten State, boy, he's a good coach, and he did a great job this year.
Yeah, I want to believe that I didn't. I want to believe that I believe in Jake Diebler, but I got to be real honest with you.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of basketball. I'm not being braggadocious. I don't know what their identity is.
No.
I don't know what they're running.
I don't know what their offense is.
I see a lot of motion. I see guys standing.
Yeah.
And a lot what of, drives me nuts is I'll see a guy standing or not going hard or something, and he doesn't come out of the game. That drives me nuts.
It does.
And the bench is a really good motivator.
And the number of late in the game losses that, you know, we had a 10-point lead at halftime. When I would see we have a 10-point lead at halftime, we're in trouble. Yeah, you know, because how many times did we blow a second half lead?
You know, I think I could address that a little bit. Thornton played more than 36 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Okay. Micah Parrish played 32 minutes a game. Devin Royal Mobley, they both were almost 30 minutes a game.
His
bench let him down.
I don't disagree with that.
And there are, now you're in that last 5 minutes and things get away from you. And I think that's part of what happened. Bradshaw played in 22 games. Okay.
I don't remember him at all.
22 games. Well, yeah. That's what it says in the stat page. Yeah. And he averaged 17 minutes, 6 points, and 2 rebounds.
Yeah.
We were counting on him to do more than that.
Huge
Michi
money
Johnson
there.
Played 10 games. Okay. We were counting on him. We were counting on Sean Stewart to give us more than what he gave us. We ended up playing that stick who's going to be a good player maybe, but he wasn't ready to play yet at this level.
Right. Right.
And you want to try his name, huh?
I'm not going to come close to trying his name. But my point is, I'm not sure how good a coach Jake Deeper is right now because he didn't have guys 6 through 8, 9, 10. Colin White played in 19 games, was hurt how many times this year, and never really got into the flow of things like I think he might going into his sophomore junior year.
And I love Colin White, guys, but I'm here to tell you, his defense is where he's lacking and where you're going to get on the floor.
Yeah.
Look, offensively, he's as good as there is.
And right. He sees the floor really well.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Defense is where he's going to have to pick it up.
But until they could get Deeper enough ammunition to play all 40 minutes instead of having to kind of...
That's a good point.
He's in charge of that roster, though. I mean, did he make mistakes in evaluating Stewart and Bradshaw?
I think there's a lot behind that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. He is in charge of the roster, but
he isn't.
I don't know that he. Those were all his guys. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay. Well, they better be next year.
Yeah. Is Bruce Thornton the guy to get us over the hump? And I say that every year.
I know, right? First of all, you just never know who's back and who's not, right? Bruce is going to be back, right?
Is he?
Right.
So you got equal NIL money, and you go to Bruce and say, Bruce, we need a point guard to get us to the Final Four. And Bruce goes,
well, here's the deal.
I'm out.
Here's exactly what I thought today or yesterday. When I saw the brackets come out, I saw the University of Georgia gets in the field.
Yeah.
That's where he's from.
Yeah.
They're a really good team. They're young, and you're exactly right. Why not offer Bruce Thornton that? And look, I think Bruce Thornton is a good player. I don't think Bruce Thornton is a great player. I don't think you can win Big Ten championships if he's your best player. I just don't.
He's Brent Darby.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Brent Darby was a good player, but I just don't think you can do that.
He just doesn't have Brian Brown or Boban Savovic around him.
And they got paid a lot of NIL money. They got paid money before NIL was legal. Those guys, yeah, Boban Savovic got rich in Columbus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He did.
His family was really poor from the Eastern Europe, and they became really wealthy. Thank you, Jim O'Brien.
Boban had an unbelievable Big Ten championship game.
Yeah. What was the – before we had Zach, remember him? Came with Brian Brown, came out of New York City.
Yeah.
And he wasn't supposed to come with. But yeah. Anyways, oh well, guys. Why do Buckeye fans love football so much more than basketball? And I think we have the answer.
Well, we win in football, right? Yeah. Right. And every time we get momentum in basketball, we have a stretch like this, right? Yeah. And I blame Ohio State because we had some really good teams with Eldon Miller, and then they let Eldon Miller just stay way too long. Yeah. Right, and so any momentum that
Ohio
State had.
One good team with Eldon Miller. Whether you're talking Kelvin Ramsey, Jim Smith,
Carter Scott,
that team. Yeah.
Well, I, unlike you, I still think that that NIT championship team in '87 was a great team.
Beat Finis Dembo in Wyoming. I'll take that trophy. Put that hardware in front of me. It's evident, Mark. It's just a Buckeye or it's a football school, right?
That's correct. I think you're dealing with a lot of perception when you deal with Ohio State football compared to Ohio State basketball, and then we let a really good coach go. You know, and he's at Butler now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had one really bad year because he wasn't healthy.
Yeah.
And I think when you saw the support from his past players when he lost his job.
Yeah.
I think we had a really good guy there we let get away. Now, could he have gotten healthy? Could we have given him a year off? Could we have done to keep him?
Duke let Krzyzewski do it.
See, yeah. I think we really had something going there. At that point in time,
I've always said this. When they let Thad Mata go, I always thought that maybe they should have just put him in like another role, but kept him there at Ohio State.
Absolutely.
Like he was he's probably the greatest recruiter we've ever seen in Columbus as far as bringing in talent. I mean, look at the teams he had. My goodness. We were competing.
And did it clean.
Yes. Yeah. We're competing for Big Ten titles. We're winning, you know, Big Ten tournaments. We're going to Final Fours. We're playing in national championship games. That's the golden age of Buckeye hoops. And that's why I think we all get frustrated because we all seen it happen. It can't. The Schottenstein can be a great place to watch basketball when you're good.
The whole reason why Thad Mata got let go, Kidd Bates Diop broke his leg. Remember?
Sure.
He breaks his leg. They are bad that year. And then all of a sudden, Mata's gone. The next year, Holtman comes in. Who's healthy? Kidd Bates Diop. Yeah. And Holtman goes unbelievable in his first year.
Yeah. Guys, how much did we miss Nate tonight? Thanks a lot for coming to the show. Yeah.
Who? Yeah, Nate.
That bald guy that runs around here?
Yeah, the one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Drinks all the monsters?
He wasn't even here last week, was he?
No.
No.
No. No, I guess we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to have fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, Marker. Appreciate it. Hey, next week we're going to have Columbus Grove head girls basketball coach Brian Schrader and some players.
And Nate.
And Nate. You've been watching the Three Wise Men on WOSN.